This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang. You are listening to On Target, and it is our mission to be current and topical and educational and let you know everything that's going on in the community that we think you might be interested in and meet people that are making a difference in Western New York and talk about, a lot of times, cultural institutions that you might not be that familiar with. And this couple of weeks, we've been concentrating on telling you not only about cultural institutions that are important here in Western New York, as far as, like last week we talked about Niagara Falls, even the aquarium, but my point was maybe this would be interesting for all of you during the holiday vacation, giving you ideas of what to do while the kids are hanging out and you don't know where to go and how to entertain them besides them looking at their iPads or doing their computer games. And if you want to get them out of the house and do some activity, last week we mentioned the aquarium, and today we're going to tell you about what I think is a really underrated and underestimated and sort of underknown, that's not definitely not a word, a place here in Western New York, which is our very own Buffalo Museum of Science. And obviously, this would be a fun and educational place, I think, to take the kids and for you to go yourself, because it is, what's that saying, it's not your grandmother's Museum of Science anymore. It's so modern and up to date. And recently, I had occasion to find out about it because I was at that well-known STEM Hub annual meeting that my daughter Robin Wolfgang was the chairman of, a little quote there again, and because she was supporting it from Citibank. And that was when they were concentrating on talking about places here in Western New York that were part of the science, technology, engineering and math programs or institute, what do they call it? It's a mission to get everybody, young people, interested in those subjects and thinking about them for the future. And during this program, I myself was fascinated to learn about all the innovations and changes that have happened in the Buffalo Science Museum. So in the studio with us today is Marissa Wigglesworth, and Marissa is the president and CEO. Many years ago on Target, the previous president, Mark, okay, was with us, and that was, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago. I don't know how long you've been here, Marissa, but it was a while ago. And even then, I think my listeners on Target were fascinated to hear about how different and how progressive things have been at the Museum of Science. So now I know that you're going to have a lot more to tell us. Welcome. I don't know how long have you been with the museum, Marissa?
Well, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here. I've been with the museum about 2.5 years now, and it's really just been a tremendous, exciting period of time.
Now, the museum has been in existence for a long time, right?
We are the Buffalo Society of Natural Sciences originally. That entity is 158 years old.
Oh, I remember that.
Right. Not at all. The museum will be celebrating our 90th anniversary in our current building in Martin Luther King Park in January.
Oh, you jumped ahead, answered my question brilliantly. Where are you? But it is a very it's a beautiful building. It's a kind of historic building as well.
Indeed, it is. It is an S.M. Wine & Johnson building, and it was built to be a science museum in the period of time where Buffalo was a rich city and able to invest in its cultural and educational and artistic offerings. So we're really very, very privileged to have such a marvelous facility.
It was built to be meant to be a science museum. That's unusual.
Indeed it was, yes.
So you're saying that they have had a lot of money in the old days and they could afford to have a building just dedicated to science.
It's certainly true. And really, we're so fortunate to see it throughout the greater Buffalo region, is that we have these amazing cultural institutions, and the History Museum is another great example that remain dedicated to forwarding science or history or a very mission first cultural objective for our community.
Well, tell us about the general mission of the Museum of Science. Obviously, by the very name, it has science in it, but I'm not sure exactly what that encompasses.
Right. So we make all of our programming choices guided by what we call our why. Why do we come to work? Why do we exist? And our why is that we believe science creates opportunities and shapes our world. So with that, our mission is to inspire curiosity through exploration. We want people of all ages to come into our exhibits, to participate in our program, and really be wide open to exploring new things, to asking smart questions, to making connections between things that are like, or understanding how things are different. Our new tagline, Find Why, really embodies all of that. You know, our world is full of questions, and it's the question of why that's fundamentally moved humans forward, really across time. We ask a question, we find a solution, that leads to a next question. That's what we're trying to instill and foster each day at the Buffalo Museum of Science.
That covers a wide range of things, right? But I guess what I hadn't thought about until you said it was everything really does depend or involve science in some way.
We believe so. We heartily believe so. And there are things like there are the basic structures that make modern life efficient and comfortable and convenient. Science makes that possible. There is, you know, the creativity that so many people express beautifully through forms of art. Well, oftentimes it's science that really underpins that ability. Science is all around us, and we're all engaging with science each day.
So let's talk about the museum itself. If you, first of all, if you walked in there, would there be exhibits from beginning of time all the way to the present, or how does it work?
Sure. So we've had the great fortune with support from across our community to renovate the entire Buffalo Museum of Science over the last many years. So truly, if you have not been in a number of years, it is an all-new visitor experience. When you walk in, you will be able to enjoy four floors of exhibits. Each one is contemporary, it's engaging, it's got hands-on learning activities, it has things for young children and for grown-ups. But what's really wonderful about our museum today, I believe, is not only are we contemporary and new, but we also have held on to those treasured museum pieces that your listeners likely recall with great fondness visiting when they were children, or perhaps with their own children decades ago. Because really, that's what visiting museums is all about. We make memories when we visit museums. And as one who runs museum programming, I want to honor that and make sure that those memories are always there to revisit and build upon.
So probably parents that are listening, for example, can say to their children, let's go to the Science Museum, and I hope they still have the fill-in-the-blank dinosaur or something.
Giant
bear.
I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Stuffy the stuffed bison, the giant map of the Niagara Frontier, all still there, but you're absolutely right.
I have to laugh because I grew up in New York City, and our field trip always was to the Museum of Natural Science, as they called it. And there is a blue whale.
Oh, yes.
It's a gigantic blue whale on above the ceiling in a room.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, I don't know how old that museum is, but probably as old as ours. And every term, semester, whatever, when we would go visit the kids, the field trip, whatever, all my growing up years would be, can we go to see the blue whale? You know, and that's for, or they even would have events and they'd say, under the blue whale. Mm-hmm. So that probably is the same idea here for people that have gone when they were children.
That is exactly right. We look forward to that. That's the calling card, one of the hallmarks of a museum visit. So it's incredibly important that we continue to cultivate those wonderful, iconic exhibits within our own museum.
Now, would this be, let's say, not chronological, but when there's four floors, does it go How does it go? The lowest floors start from the oldest time and work up?
Actually, not necessarily. No. We have exhibits across all four floors, and they are topical, generally built around areas where the Buffalo Society of Natural Sciences has long had depth and great resources in their collections. So the first floor is a lot of our public programming spaces. We have concessions. We have coat room facilities. We have our 3D theater. And we have our exhibit for our youngest visitors, where they come and explore and learn while they play, called Explorations. As you go up to the second floor, we have a handful of exhibits on a variety of topics: biodiversity, the human body, paleontology, and the phases of extinction on our planet. Going up to the third floor, another handful of exhibits. We've got an exhibit on geology, another on physics and fundamental mechanics. We've got one on bugs and one on nutrition. And then finally, on our fourth floor, we have our newest exhibit called Buffalo in Space, which is just as it sounds, an exhibit themed all around space and astronomy. So more around, you know, great diversity in our programming, and really more targeted to particular topics where we excel.
I know there was a whole lot of publicity not too long ago about the on the roof.
Right, the rooftop observatory, our Kellogg Observatory, yes.
Maybe people missed it, so you can tell us.
My pleasure, yes. So the Kellogg Observatory was built onto the roof of the Buffalo Museum of Science the year after the museum opened. That was in 1930. And the observatory served as a marvelous venue for learning and exploration for decades, right up until 1999, when it was closed to the public due to wear and tear. It was no longer safe. It was no longer a high-functioning observatory. Well, 20 years later, again, with support from across our community, for which we're so appreciative, we had the opportunity to reopen that observatory. So we have full access to it, including an elevator. We have a new dome on top of the observatory. We have fully restored the original telescope that's there, a 1929 piece of equipment, and had the great privilege to name that telescope in memory of Ernst Both, a former leader and former curator of astronomy at the Buffalo Museum of Science, greatly beloved man who had a tremendous positive impact on people throughout our community. So we once again here in Buffalo have this rare and special rooftop observatory learning venue to share with our community.
And also they people can actually go. It's like a hands-on thing. That's what I'm trying to say.
It is indeed. So we have inside the observatory itself, we offer facilitated viewing sessions with our Kellogg Observatory astronomer. They're very small groups. They're very immersive. They're really an outstanding special experience. That's on Wednesday evenings by reservation. And then also on Wednesday evenings and some Sunday afternoons, we have viewing from the roof deck at the Buffalo Museum of Science, where you can look at the stars through one of our telescopes, or perhaps even do some safe solar viewing of the sun on Sunday afternoons.
You know, when you said astrology, it made me think of the fact that science covers, and the Science Museum also covers, a lot of different facets of science, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, science is so broad. It is so diverse. What is science? And as much as content, we think about science as a way to understand the world, as a way of thinking. So as much as we are based in STEM content, science, technology, engineering, and math, our primary purpose with our visitors is to help them develop skills as what we call a scientific thinker. And those are skills around asking good questions, thinking critically, challenging assumptions. This is really where we put the greatest priority in helping our guests build skill. But of course, this, just as you say, the field of science is incredibly broad and diverse.
Well, because you mentioned before, you mentioned astrology, and then before you mentioned an exhibit that shows the biology of man,
indeed, and that we have a handful. Actually, we have an exhibit that really highlights biodiversity on the planet. So all animal life on the planet. We have another exhibit yet that is all about the human body and health and wellness of the human body, and another exhibit yet that's all about nutrition. So even within that particular topic area, there's so much that one can explore at the Buffalo Museum of Science.
If you just tuned in today, you are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are talking about our very own Buffalo Museum of Science, and in the studio with us is Marissa Wigglesworth, who's the president and CEO for the last couple of years, and we're really delighted that she could come and share all this information with us, because as I said before, I thought it was a good time for you to talk about it because people might be looking for places to visit and activities. And when you mention activities, there's a lot of hands-on and different programming that takes place that the public may not be that aware of, but we are going to tell them now.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So in addition to our fabulous exhibits, which I believe is the thing for which we are probably best known, we do have a variety of programming, and particularly some special programming happening around the winter holiday break. So, for instance, we have break week camps for kids of all ages. So if you're looking for something for your young people to do while they're not in school, think of us. We have themed camps, different ages, they're hands-on, they're loads of fun. Kids will get to try experiments and building things and engineering things, all depending on which camp theme they choose. We also have a terrific selection of events coming up specifically for adults. For instance, on December 28th, we have special Home for the Holidays Buffalo Museum of Science trivia with local trivia master Dennis George.
Oh.
That'll be at the museum.
Oh, so. I am his favorite subject, Dennis. We love him, you know. Yes, because I never know anything. And I'm always wrong. And he'll say, okay, what's the most popular song for the holidays? What's the most popular Christmas song? And I'll say Jingle Bells or White Christmas. And he'll say, no, it's Rocking Around the Clock or something. Whatever I say is always wrong.
Always wrong.
So
he is the most,
yeah, pretty much. But he is so much fun.
Yes.
I highly recommend anybody that to come to this.
Terrific.
He knows everything. Or else he's making it up. I don't know.
Those trivia masters, they have special memory skills. And we're really looking forward to that, to that event. And those are just two examples of the kinds of programming that we've got on the calendar, really week in and week out, always trying to bring something innovative and entertaining while it's educational to our community.
Do they have permanent, there must be permanent exhibits as well as changing, special?
Indeed. I'm so glad you asked. And that is exactly the case. We do have a marvelous, exciting selection of what we call our core exhibits. But in addition, we are fortunate to host just about annually a cycle of visiting exhibits. This winter, starting off February 9th and running through early May, we will be hosting a really exciting exhibit called The Art of the Brick. It'll be presented by M&T Bank, and it is an exhibit all about the Lego brick.
Oh, kids, everyone loves Legos. Oh, my goodness.
Everyone loves Legos. So this exhibit is built by an artist named Nathan Sawaya, and it features a variety of Lego brick sculptures, everything from reproductions of fine art paintings made exclusively of Legos to sculptures that Mr. Sawaya has created from his own imagination. So there's a giant T-Rex, and there are things we know from fine art history, and it's really going to be a draw, I think, for people of all ages.
That's so much fun. There's a Lego at Rockefeller. People, you don't have to go to New York. I'm come to think of it. You can go to the museum here, but if you are in New York, there's a Lego store. It's on Madison. It's on Rockefeller Center, and in the window there's a Statue of Liberty. There's a Lego Empire State Building. So we have our very own here.
We're going to have our very own here from early February through early May. And in addition to the installations in the exhibit, there's a second feature of the exhibit called The Science of the Brick, where we really get into more of the engineering behind building with Legos, what the artist Nathan Sawaya did, but what any of us do when we design and build with Lego bricks. So there will be a lot of hands-on challenges where children and adults will be encouraged to craft their own Lego construction in response to a particular challenge or model.
So that brings me up to asking you, which I know the answer, and I want everybody else to know, about the idea that they're all year round, but not just special programs, the idea of hands-on, not just looking at a museum, looking at an exhibit. Like when we were kids and we'd go, you'd look through a glass and the whole activity would be look at the pilgrims, look at the Indians, look at the wildlife, you know. But now it's the idea is it's a movable, hands-on exhibits right. that people can participate in.
That's right, and you said that so very well. We know more about how people learn today than we did decades and decades ago. We know that many people learn more effectively by engaging in a hands-on activity. We certainly know that being part of a hands-on experience is more compelling to learners of certain ages. And, you know, you mentioned my predecessor, Mark Mortensen, at the top of the show. And I think Mark just did a wonderful thing when he was leading the beginning of the renovation of the museum. Because what the museum embraced at that time was not renovating exhibits. Because an exhibit is passive. An exhibit is something on display that the guest looks at without becoming engaged physically. What the leaders of the museum did during the renovation was create science studios, like an artist studio or like a dancer's studio. Science studios is where the science happens. And that's really what we believe is happening in our museum every day, that people come into our spaces and they are doing science because they're exploring and discovering and asking questions and making connections. They're finding why and they're asking their next question.
So it is, it's sort of a new, not that new, but a more modern idea of how to use or how to make use of a science museum.
Absolutely. And the other very special and thing, perhaps unique thing, that the Buffalo Museum of Science has to call on in our programming, in our science studios, is our extraordinary collection of items. We were founded 158 years ago as a collecting institution. And in the many, many decades since, we've continued to collect. We now have more than 750,000 items accessioned into our museum collection.
What?
That, yes, indeed.
Seriously?
Some of them are very tiny. Some of them are insects. Yeah. Some of them are plants. And yet these become a rare learning tool that we can include in our science studios, that we can bring out when we go to visit schools, or that we can bring out onto the museum floor and use them as learning tools when we engage with our guests. So we are in a marvelous and special place that we can do programming that perhaps other modern day science centers aren't able to because they don't have the depth of the collection that we have at our disposal.
Would you keep, are they all, they're not all visible, are they all there somewhere?
They are indeed. They are indeed. With the exception of a very small number, they are all in the museum building on our fourth floor. And newly, we are offering behind-the-scenes tours of our collections themed around a variety of topics, generally on Wednesday evenings, and they're incredible. You literally go behind the locked door, behind the second locked door, into these special rooms with all of these rare and interesting collection items and hear from our incredibly talented collections professionals. And it's really a very special Buffalo experience. So I encourage our listeners today to check our website and learn more about those opportunities.
Yeah. Now, what's really important is that there's such an emphasis now on what we said, STEM activities or STEM learning. And here you have right in our fingertips, and I'm sure do students take advantage of it, and teachers and classes.
Absolutely. We have had a terrific relationship with the Buffalo Public School District for a number of years. We are attached to the Charles R. Drew Science Magnet School, which is an elementary and middle school as part of the Buffalo Public School District. And we, through the Buffalo Public School District, have the privilege of working with those students in their science lessons every week. And we've really appreciated that opportunity. We were so proud of the Charles R. Drew Magnet School, which once the test scores were released just in the last couple of weeks, achieved the school in good standing credential. So those students have really made remarkable progress. We're very proud of them. And we're looking to do more and more with the public schools, certainly.
So actually, from time immemorial until present, there's something at the museum. And from zero age or from, kindergarten on there to adulthood, there's something to offer as well.
That's absolutely true.
That's basically
true.
What we're saying.
That is absolutely true.
We're talking, in case you just tuned in, we hope you listened the whole time. We've been talking about our very own Buffalo Buffalo Science Museum, and speaking of history, we also had occasion to talk about the History Museum recently. So we have such treasures here in Western New York and in every field. But as far as we're talking today about science and technology and engineering and math, which we're trying to encourage young people, this is a wonderful opportunity for them to know and to take advantage of what's right here in our own backyard. Now, as far as you mentioned the programs, Melissa, and everything, there's obviously a website, and any you want to just throw it out there?
Sure.
And any other numbers or names or anything people might need?
Sure. The website is ScienceBuff, that's ScienceBuff.org, and all of our programming can be found there. I'd love to also mention Tift Nature Preserve. Tift Nature Preserve is the sister organization, yes, indeed, to the Buffalo Museum of Science. Another rare and wonderful gem for our Western New York community, a nature preserve just a few miles away from our urban city center. And it too, there we offer another great suite of programming all winter long, snowshoeing if there's snow on the ground, nature walks, bird watching hikes, birthday parties and workshops. Really, once again, something for all ages.
Well, if you've been listening to On Target the last couple of weeks, we've answered all your holiday wishes. So thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining us, Melissa. And everybody, have a wonderful and happy and healthy holiday and new year. And we'll be with you soon on Target. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.